Proverbs 21, verse 16 says, "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." It was just a couple of years ago, we were on our block outside in the summertime, and here come a little boy walking down the street. I don't believe the boy was older than 4 or 5 years old. He had no idea where he was. He was 2 blocks removed from his family, and we did not know where he lived. We're thankful that somebody was eventually able to find him and take him back to his home that began by him just wondering, by him just kind of leaving where he was and not knowing where he was going. The wonder is someone who considers leaving something that he doesn't value as much as that which he might find. That's a wanderer. The sheep that goes astray thinks that there is something better outside of the fold. To wander means to wander from sense, means that someone at one point in time had some sense but left it. Have you ever known a wise person who chose to be foolish? We have the example of Solomon in the Scriptures, who was the wisest man that ever lived at that time, according to the Scriptures, and yet he wandered, and he wandered and strayed into foolish living. The wanderer is often tired of God's restraint and wants to wander towards unrestrained excitement. He's tired of being part of the godly and wants his independence and freedom. This is the heart of a wanderer. And the Scripture says, "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding." That means there's a way. That means there's a path that is right. That means that there is a path that is safe. That person shall remain in the congregation of the dead. It's the heart that wanders at first. And oftentimes we don't see that heart wandering. The symptoms of that heart wandering don't immediately come to the surface. It just begins to take place down in a heart. It's the heart that wanders from God first. A wanderer leaves 5 different paths. I want to give you 5 paths tonight that a wanderer leaves if you're taking notes. Number one, a wanderer leaves the path of God's commandments. I'm preaching tonight on this thought, the man that wandereth. And a man that wanders leaves the path of God's commandments. Turn over in your Bibles to Psalm 119, verse number 10. Psalm 119, verse number 10. The psalmist said this, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." Oh, is that not a testimony to have? "With my whole heart, Lord, I have sought you." And here's his prayer. "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." He knew that there would be a pull within for him to wander from the commandments of God. And he says, "Oh, Lord, let me not do that. Lord, if you would protect me from one thing, let it be that you protect me from wandering from thy commandments." In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says this, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." He understood that the heart was prone to wander from the commandments of God. There are a number of commandments given in the Scriptures. There's a commandment given to young people. Well, we have a lot of young people in our church, and I'm thrilled to have every young person. Young people, one of the hardest things for you to do in life is to come under the commandments that God has given. One of those commandments has to do with your parents. And the Scripture has this command. Here's what Solomon wrote to his son. "Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye." You know what you have responsibility to do as a young person? Keep the commandments that mom and dad's given you. If they say no, that means you say no. If they say no, you can't do that, that means that you say no, I can't do that, and you don't cross the lines, the boundary lines that God has set up in your life. They're there for your protection. Your parents have put them there for reasons in your life. When a teenager wanders, are you listening to me, young people? Often, the first step of wandering in their heart is wandering away from their parents' commandments. That's a dangerous place to live. Beware of that. there's another commandment given to children. It says, "Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth." Do you realize, young people, that not only do you have commandments to follow that your parents give you, but the Bible says you're not to depart from their words. That means that they have wisdom. That means that they have advice. That means that they have wishes for your life. And the scripture, Solomon writes here and he says, hey, not only are you not to wander from my commandments, you're to pay attention, you're to follow my commandments, but you're also to follow my words. That encompasses much more than just the commands that your parents have given you. There's a thing that happens to young people as they grow older, and that is that you become independent. And you like freedom. And you like to be able to think on your own. I had a parent tell me recently, it was funny, I was talking to them and their child has grown up a little bit older. And they're not a teenager anymore, a young adult. And the father said, "I think my son has grown a brain." He came back and he said, "Dad, you were right." He listened to his words and his commands. Young person, be careful about wandering away from the commands of your parents, from the words of wisdom that your parents have. They're not people that lived in a different century. Some of the things they may teach you is old-fashioned. Some of the things that they may say, you may think, man, where did you come from? Do you live on a different planet? But God has given them to you as instructors, as counselors, as authorities in your life. And when they speak, you should listen. And when they speak, you should follow. That's what the scripture's saying. It is very easy for the wanderer to wander away from commandments. There are the commandments given in scripture. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. There's other commandments. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Grudge not one against another. And I could give you hundreds of them in the scripture tonight. And the scripture is simply saying this, that a wanderer that wanders away from the way of understanding, that person remains in the congregation of the dead. That means it's not good to wander. I wonder if you're straying from a commandment that God has given. You are wandering away from it. God's trying to draw you back to it tonight. It may not be a command that I've mentioned in the message. It may be another command in Scripture. You know the command that you're wandering away from. God knows the command. The Holy Spirit knows the command that you may be wandering away from. Be careful. Be careful that you don't wander from His commandments. There's another path that the wanderer leaves, and that is the path of contentment. Not only the path of God's commandments, but often the wanderer, when he leaves the way of understanding, he leaves the path of contentment. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter number 14. There's a very disturbing phrase in this passage that I want you to see. I believe one of the greatest things that you can learn in life is to learn contentment. Paul said this in Philippians 4, verse number 11. He says, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." You know, Paul was in a lot of different situations in life. He faced a lot of different things in his life. And he says, over the course of my life, I've learned that whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content in that state of life. The wanderer leaves the path of contentment. In Jeremiah chapter 14, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us. We are called by thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto this people. Thus have they loved to what? Wonder. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, look at what the Lord said unto the prophet. This is a disturbing thing. Because these people loved to wander, because they were constantly living in this plight of discontentment in their lives, the Lord concludes, pray not for this people for their good. Why? Because they were wandering away from the path of contentment. They loved to wander, the scripture says. They were always looking for the latest thrill. Whatever looked like it would make them happy, that's what they would wander to. That's what the Bible is saying here. God was so sick of their habit of wandering. He told the prophet, pray not for this people for their good. They're not going to see any good. When they leave the path of understanding, when they leave the path of contentment, there is no good. Listen to me tonight. You will never find the steps away from contentment to be satisfying. Are you listening to me tonight? You will never find the steps away from contentment in your life to be satisfying. Oh, but the grass looks greener on this side of the fence, Pastor. If I could just be here, if I could just be with this person, if I could just cross this line in my life, things would be so much better. No, they won't. You can't leave the path of contentment and find satisfaction. It doesn't work. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. Ask Solomon if it was satisfying. Open the book of Ecclesiastes and read those 12 chapters and tell me that Solomon found gratification and fulfillment and satisfaction in leaving the path of contentment. No, what you'll find over and over again is vanity and vexation of spirit. I wasted my life. Oh, I'm empty. I have this empty feeling in what I have pursued when I left the path of contentment. Ask Achan tonight. Say, Achan, how is it when you left the path of contentment and went after the Babylonian garment that didn't belong to you? What happened when you gave in to the sin of covetousness in your life? Was it fulfilling? Do you enjoy life because of that? And Achan would come back and say, no. No, in fact, me and my family were stoned. Ask David tonight. Was it good when you wandered away from the path of contentment in your life, David? Did everything work out great? Wasn't that sin a blast? He'd hang his head and say, no, it wasn't. No, life is miserable. Because that's what life is when you leave the path of contentment. But the wanderer leaves the path of contentment. May I ask you tonight, where are you struggling with contentment? You know, we all battle in this area. Every believer battles in this area. Some of us battle in the area of needing more things. Others of us battle in the area that in the situation that God put us in, we're not happy. If we could just get out of the situation, we would be happy. We're not content with where God has placed us. Others of us battle with this and how God made us. Young people, this is a very big struggle that young people have trouble with. Well, if God didn't make me to look like the way I am, I just don't like who I am. Wait a second. According to Psalm 139, verse 14, you're fearfully and wonderfully made according to the Scripture. Brethren, you're in danger when you leave the path of contentment. There's another path that the wanderer leaves. It's the path of commitment. Turn over in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Look at verse number 8, if you will. Proverbs 27 and verse number 8. A wanderer leaves the path of God's commandments. He leaves the path of contentment. A wanderer leaves the path of commitment. The Bible says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. A bird's security is her nest. A bird's safety is her nest. A bird's commitment is to that nest and to the little ones that God has given her. When she leaves that place, her place of retreat, her place of security, her place of safety, and goes into strange countries, she's exposed to every kind of danger. She's most safe when she's in her place of commitment. The Bible says, as a bird that wandereth from the nest, so is a man that wanders from his place. This wandering is created by unrest in man's mind, and the instability of his conduct is one who's constantly changing in purpose and position, is constantly moving. He leaves his commitments. I have respect for someone who's steadfast, who's unmovable, who's always abounding in the work of the Lord. They're in their place. But boy, there are a lot of Christians wandering today, wandering from commitment. Some are convinced that if they were under other skies, they would succeed. A man that wandereth leaves his daily commitment of being in God's Word. And I call it, he's open game for Satan. He's open game for the world. He's open game for his flesh. A man that wanders, are you listening to me tonight? Usually first he wanders from his commitment of his daily walk with God. That's usually where a wanderer starts. That commitment becomes shaky in a life. And then it begins to affect other commitments in many different ways. Proverbs 2 verse 13 says, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. May I remind you as a church, when you became a church member, of what you committed to tonight? This is good to review every so often. When you became a church member at Mount Zion Baptist Church, you signed a covenant. You agreed verbally to this covenant. Here's what the covenant reads. To walk together in Christian love. To strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, in holiness, and comfort. To promote its prosperity and spirituality. To sustain its worship, ordinances, disciplines, standards, and doctrines. To contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry here, the expenses of the church, the relief of the needy, the spread of the gospel through all nations, to maintain family and personal devotions. That's in the covenant. If you stood up in front of this church like I stood up in front of this church, you agreed to that. You committed yourself to that. To educate our children both in the Bible and in anything we deem necessary. To seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances by witnessing, preaching, literature, etc. To walk circumspectly in the world. To be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment. To avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. To edify each other through the Bible and spiritual gifts, to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior, to watch over one another in brotherly love and care, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and in distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior. That's what you committed to. You know what a wanderer does? He wanders from commitments. Commitments that he once made are not as important as they used to be. That's the covenant part of our statement. There's a doctrinal part of our statement. There were questions that you answered in front of this church. Are you in complete agreement with the doctrinal statement of this church? And to become a member, you said, yes, I am. Will you endeavor to remain faithful to the Word of God and to the work of the Lord at this church? And you said, yes, I will. Will you endeavor to support the Lord's work at this church with your tithes and offerings? And you said, yes, I will. Will you agree to and follow the covenant and doctrinal statement of this church? And you said, yes, I will. You made commitments. Brethren, when we come together in membership, we made commitments to one another. We made commitments to follow the Scripture. We made commitments on the Word of God, that it is the authorized King James Version, which we believe to be the infallible or inerrant Word of God, and we reject all modern versions. That's what we agreed to. That's what you agreed to when you became a member. In ecclesiastical separation, this is the statement in our doctrinal statement. We refuse to lend credibility and endorsement and to cooperate or agree in joint ventures with other organizations and men who are lost, from erring brethren, and from those who do not take similar stands of separation. We further intend to expose error in an attempt to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We see these cooperations as steps to ecumenism and the one world church. And you said, I agree. Do you still agree? Or are you wondering? A man that wondereth from the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. We have a statement of personal separation in our doctrinal statement. It goes like this. We believe that how we appear, what we listen to, what we say, what we do, where we go, and who we choose as companions is important. We believe that biblical principles of modesty and identification as either a male or a female are important in consideration of appearance. Additionally, the Bible teaches that it is a shame for a man to have long hair, but it is proper for a woman to have long hair. We also believe that all music in every church ought to be conservative and God-honoring in music, words, and presentation. No rock or contemporary Christian music is acceptable in our services, and if it's not acceptable in our services, it shouldn't be acceptable in our lives. Finally, we believe that believers ought to abstain from drinking intoxicating beverages, chewing, smoking or chewing tobacco, using illegal drugs, looking at pornography, gambling, and participating in any activity, saying any words, and going any place where we might damage the testimony of Christ or that might lead us into carnal living and thinking. Preacher, I don't believe some of that anymore. Who's changed? I'm sorry, our doctrine has not changed. And it's not going to. It ought to reveal something to you. You're wondering. And you're wondering away from commitments that you have made. And by the way, when we went over these commitments with you and when we walked through our doctrinal statement and covenant, we're not getting you to commit to bad things. These are things that please the Lord because they're based on the authority of Scripture. But a wanderer leaves the path of commitment. We believe that God has commanded that no intimate sexual activity be engaged in outside of a marriage between a man and a woman. We believe that any form of adultery, bestiality, bisexuality, fornication, homosexuality, incest, lesbianism, and pornography are sinful perversions of God's plan for marriage. Do you still believe that? You ought to. In fact, you ought to be growing stronger in it as you see the wickedness in our day continue to pollute our nation. Brethren, do you realize that when you committed to become a member of Mount Zion, you committed to attend all the services? Do you realize you made a verbal commitment to abide by our church's doctrinal statement? Not just believe it. You agreed to abide by it. Say, preacher, you're getting hard. No, I'm not. No, that's what we believe. That's what we as a church believe. That's basic Christianity, what we're talking about. But you know what the wanderer is tempted to do? He's tempted to stray away from his commitments that he had once made. And brethren, I'm saying as we get ready to start and embark on a new year, it would be good for you to strengthen your commitments, what you've committed to. In our commitment to attend all the services, we did not make an allowance to stay home because the week was busy. Everybody here has busy weeks. That doesn't mean that Sunday becomes something that we take or leave because we've had a busy week, a heavy week. Everybody has busy weeks. We made a commitment. It doesn't mean that you have work to do around the house, so you take off Wednesday nights. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm trying to help you. We made some commitments. We need to stick to our commitments. It doesn't mean because your favorite team's playing on TV that you skip out on church. You're wondering. If that's taking place, you're wondering in your life. I'm trying to help you tonight. A wonder leaves the path of commitment. A teenager wanders away from a commitment to tell the truth in his life. He or she begins withholding truth from their parents. A wonder leaves the commitment to daily confess his sins. A wonder leaves the commitment to pray and get a hold of God. A wonder leaves commitments to personal holiness. A wonder chant is, "Now I have my freedom." It's the chant of a wonder. There's a fourth thing that a wonder leaves tonight. He leaves the path of chastening. How does this work in a life, preacher? I'll tell you how it works. Someone gets involved in something that they shouldn't be involved in, and instead of owning up to it and facing it head on and dealing with it biblically, they take the path of a coward and run. Instead of taking the path of courage and dealing with their sin before a holy God. God begins to chasten them, and it becomes very grievous, as the Word of God says. And so there's a tendency to want to get out from underneath that and say, "I don't want any of this anymore." And the wonder leaves the path of chastening. The Scripture says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons." If you're facing chastening in your life, be thankful for it. God's dealing with you as a son. That's a comforting thought, that God would deal with us as sons. Listen to me tonight. It takes courage to work through problems biblically. It takes a coward to run. Everybody's doing that with their sin today. Somebody gets involved in sin in the church. Instead of owning up to it to the church, they go to another church. Hope the other church doesn't find out. They don't want to deal with their sin God's way. There's a way to deal with sin. The consequences are often too painful. It's just easier to wonder. I want you to understand this about your wondering. God sets the timetable for the wondering, not man. In Numbers chapter 14, the children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years. Now, they had wandered away from God before that. Remember, they had wandered away from God when they had an opportunity to go into the promised land, and the spies came back and said, "Oh no, we can't do that." And they listened to the majority instead of the minority. And God said, "Fine, you'll wonder, and you'll wonder for 40 years. God sets the timetable when you take on the path of wondering. "Well, I'll just take a little detour here from God's path for me. I'll control it, and it won't be long, and I'll get back to God on my timetable." No, you won't. When you wonder, God sets the timetable. And for the children of Israel, it was 40 years long. It's interesting that in our text, Proverbs chapter 21, the Bible talks about somebody that wanders, in verse 16, out of the way of understanding, but notice he shall remain in the congregation of the dead. The wanderer never considers how long this path might go. The Bible says he shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Throughout the book of Proverbs, God deals with the strange woman. He deals with people that wander down her path. It says this in Proverbs 2:18, "For her house inclineth unto death." Oh, just wander down that road a little bit and see where it will lead. In Proverbs 9:18, "But he knoweth not that the dead are there." My friend, when you wander away from commitment and you wander away from contentment and you wander away from God's commandments and you wander away from chastening, be reminded tonight that there's a congregation of the dead that are waiting for you. You can't see where you're going to end up. You can't see who you're going to dwell with. But God warns us that if you choose that way, that's where it will end up. A wonder leaves one other path tonight that I want to close with. A wonder leaves the path or the place of the cross. Satan's desire is to get every believer away from the cross. When the Christian gets away from the cross, the newborn instincts within him make him feel that he is out of his proper position. Can I give you some truths tonight about the cross? The cross is the true rest for the Christian. We are like Noah's dove. There is no rest for the sole of our feet except in the ark, except for us at the cross. It's the cross that reminds us that there is nothing more that we need than the blood and the righteousness of Christ. If you haven't struggled with contentment in your life tonight, get back to the cross. It'll remind you of what you really need and how God has provided what you really need. It's when we kneel at the cross that we are reminded that we are nothing and that He is everything. It's when we take time to view the cross that we're reminded of the extreme commitment that Christ made to us. And it makes our commitments to Him look so small. That God would ask this of me, so minor, in comparison of the extreme commitment that He made to me. But brethren, when we leave the cross, we begin to look at our commitments as overwhelming and too much. And how could God expect all of this of me? It reveals that we've left the foot of the cross. Because when we get to the cross again, it reminds us of what He gave for us, that there's nothing that I could give to Him to match up to what He gave for me. The commitments that God would ask of me, oh, they're very minor compared to what He committed to me. It's at the cross that we find contentment because we realize that we have the greatest gift in life, and that is eternal life. That's at the cross. It's at the cross that all of the other attractions that we face in life, all of the other pathways that are out there that we can wander to, become unattractive as we think of what the path to the cross means to our lives, means to our eternity. The wonder leaves the path and the place of the cross. I wonder in your life tonight if you are sensing the pull to wonder. The man that wondereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 6 says this, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. What foolish path are you treading down? Are you wandering down that God says, stop sign, forsake that and live? Go again in the way of understanding, according to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 6. In Proverbs 28:10, whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. You know, there's a danger. And that danger is this, brethren, that we can lead others away from the right path. That's what the Scripture says in Proverbs 28. And if we lead others down a wrong path, away from God, away from commands, away from commitments, away from chastening, away from the cross, the Bible says that we will fall ourselves into our own pit. Better be careful how you're living your life. It's affecting someone. It could be leading someone astray. The Bible says of that person, whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. Are you leading someone else astray by the way that you're living? Watch out, a pit's coming. You shall fall into a pit. I think the verse that sums up the message is 1 Peter 2, verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray. We're sheep. I'm a sheep. You're a sheep. That means we're prone to what? We're prone to wander. We're prone to stray. And here's what he says. Terrific testimony of these sheep. But are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. But you made a choice to return. I'm asking you tonight this question. Have you been wandering from the path of God's commandments in your life? Preacher, there's just one that I just really having a hard time with. Beware. Beware. The wanderer has the temptation to wander from God's commandments. Are you wandering from the path of contentment? You know what it's like to live there, but you're not living there right now. You're discontent and you know it. It's in your spirit. It's in your decision making. You are wandering away from contentment. You're wandering from commitment. The things that you used to be committed to, you're not so much committed to anymore. You're living the life of a wanderer. You're wandering from chastisement. You've wandered from the cross. You know what God says? Hey, get back in my fold again. Return to the shepherd of your soul. Those paths are not for you. I have paths for you. They're paths that I have for you. Don't wander from these things.